the journey of the narrow road. And those who've gone before us line the way, cheering on the faithful, encouraging the weary. Their lives a stirring testament of God's sustaining grace. Surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us run the race not only for the prize, but as those who've gone before us, let us lead to those behind us the heritage of faithfulness passed on through godly lives. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful. May the fire of our devotion light their way. May the footprints that we leave lead them to believe, and the lives we live inspire them to obey. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful. After all our hopes and dreams have come and gone, and our children sift through all we've left behind, may the clues that they discover and the memories they uncover become the light that leads them to the road we each must find. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful. May the fire of our devotion light their way. May the footprints that we leave lead them to believe, and the lives we live inspire them to obey. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful. May the fire of our devotion light their way. May the footprints that we leave lead them to believe, and the lives we live inspire them to obey. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful.
Thank you, Ryan. 1 Samuel 7, find that passage, 1 Samuel chapter 7 in your Old Testament. And we're going to look at some verses tonight, and then we're going to be going over to the book of Psalms and hopefully wrapping up this year as far as Sundays go with a message that will be a challenge to our hearts tonight, a blessing to us. 1 Samuel chapter 7, and in just a moment, when you find it, I'm going to begin reading with verse 7. So 1 Samuel 7 and verse 7. If you're able to stand in honor of God's Word, join me tonight, 1 Samuel 7 and verse 7. And when the Philistines heard that the children of Israel were gathered together to Mizpah, the lords of the Philistines went up against Israel. And when the children of Israel heard it, they were afraid of the Philistines. And the children of Israel said to Samuel, "Cease not to cry unto the Lord our God for us, that He will save us out of the hand of the Philistines." Samuel took a sucking lamb and offered it for a burnt offering, holy unto the Lord. And Samuel cried unto the Lord for Israel, and the Lord heard him. And as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel. But the Lord thundered with a great thunder on that day upon the Philistines and discomfited them. And they were smitten before Israel. And the men of Israel went out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines and smote them until they came unto Beth-car. Then Samuel took a stone and set it between Mizpah and Shen and called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, "Hitherto hath the Lord helped us." I want to speak tonight on the subject, our rock of witness. Our rock of witness. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the privilege to be in church tonight. Lord, my heart has been helped and blessed by the fellowship of your people being together and hearing us sing as a congregation. Tell me the old, old story. From the very get-go, God, my heart was blessed. And so tonight I'm grateful. I pray that you'll help the message, Lord. Speak to our hearts tonight. Challenge us through this. May we not be forgetful of the great blessings you've bestowed upon us. Well, thank you in Jesus' name and amen. Thank you and be seated. Let me give you the setting of the story here. The people of Israel were gathered together at a place called Mizpah. They met there for the purpose of having the prophet of God, Samuel, pray for them. They were in need of prayer because they were embarking on a new day of dedication and service to God. They had wasted about 20 years or so of time in the worship of false gods. They spent those years in futility as they pursued the favor of idols, the children of Israel. Idols that could not see, idols that could not hear, idols that could not speak, and worse than all, idols that could not care. Could not care. They had put away the worship of these false gods. And they had turned their hearts back to the worship and service of Jehovah, the Lord God of Israel. So Samuel brought them together to have a public confession and rededication of their hearts to God. People, I want to say, that's not a bad thing for somebody to do who's been out of the will of God pursuing the interests of this world. You get your heart right with God, it's a good thing to make a public confession and rededication of your life to Christ. It's a good thing. That's what's going to happen here. Now, the Philistines heard about this meeting and at Mizpah, and they decided to gather the troops and attack the Israelites. And I'm sure Satan was well aware of Israel's futility while worshiping false gods, and he was also aware what would happen if Israel returned to wholeheartedly worship the one true God. So he sends the Philistines to attack them right away, to discourage them and to cause fear and to deter them from their determination to serve God. And that happens to people in churches in this day. Christians get sidetracked away from the service and worship of the true God, and they begin to pursue the interests of the world, and they spend some years or months of time in futility trying to gain what the world says is important in life. And that is futility. Can I remind you, this is not in my notes, but can I remind you that Peter and the other six disciples spent a whole night fishing and caught nothing. And when they came to the shore, do you know what Christ had on the fire? The very thing they were trying to catch. Christ always has what we need. Pursuing the entrance of the interest of this world is futile. It's time spent in futility. Sometimes Christians get sidetracked in that, trying to gain what the world says is important in life. The things that the world says are important in this life are not important. They're not. And we're going to realize that at the story I gave this morning about that rescue of those men there left on that Elephant Island. I mean, when their rescue came, all that stuff that they considered so vital meant nothing. It was get in the boat and go. And when Jesus comes, I think this horrible reality is going to dawn on us of how much we invested in the things of this world that literally don't amount to a hill of beans. I'm not saying you can't have things. Don't live for things. Amen. So the Christian wakes up and says, whoa, this is not what I want. This is not the road I want to travel. So the Christian makes a decision. My days of futility are over. I'm ready to follow and I'm ready to serve and I'm ready to worship God with my life. And they confess to God and they get right and they determine to walk the path of pleasing God. Boom, here comes Satan. He's always going to come after you. He's always going to attack. He understands the potential of a life that is sold out wholeheartedly to God. He comes and he attacks, trying to create discouragement and fear. You know, the easiest thing to do, folks, is to just stay on track and never get distracted, never deviate from the path of following God. Listen, it is always easier to go away than it is to come back. Always. I'm not saying you can't come back. Thank God people can come back. People can come back to fellowship to God, get back on track, but it's difficult. It's easier to go away than it is to come back. So the safe thing to do is just to put Him first and follow Him and love Him and serve Him and worship Him and don't deviate from the path of living for God. But if you've been away in your heart, you can come back. And that's wonderful. But you can also expect some opposition. And so here came the Philistines. They're going to cause some opposition here. In verse number 8, the Israelites said to Samuel, "Samuel, pray for us. Cry unto the Lord our God for us." And Samuel did in verse 8 and 9. He cried in verse number 9, "unto the Lord for Israel." And the Lord heard him. Look what God did. And as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel. But the Lord thundered with a great thunder. Now, I did a little research. You know that normal thunder is rated at approximately 120 decibels. A chainsaw running full speed is rated at about 125 decibels. A shotgun going off is rated at about 170 decibels and a handgun at about 166. Have you ever fired a gun or had somebody fire a gun beside you when you were not wearing ear protection? It affects you. It hurts. And you jump. And it can affect your hearing. And, you know, it can also, loud noises can throw off your equilibrium and you lose your balance. And the Bible says here that God sent great thunder. I have to believe that it means exactly what it says. Great thunder. And the Bible says at the end of verse number 10, it discomfited them. So God sent thunder so loud, probably exceeding the 120 decibel level, maybe that 160, 170 decibel level, and it scared them and it threw them off balance, and they lost the battle. God did all of that to help the Israelites. And in verse number 11, the Bible says the men of Israel pursued them and smote them. And after the victory was won, here's the message tonight, after the victory was won, in verse number 12, Samuel took a stone. And he set it there between Mizpah and Shen, and he called it the name Ebenezer. If you're familiar with church songs, we sometimes sing the song here, "Here I raise mine Ebenezer, come thou fount of every blessing. Here I raise mine Ebenezer, hither by thy help I've come. I'm here, God, this far because you've helped me." And Samuel put a rock there, he put a stone there, and he set it between Mizpah and Shen, and he called the name of it Ebenezer, which means, "Hitherto hath the Lord helped us." You know what Samuel was saying? "Boys, we're only here today because of God's help. We're only where we are because of God's help. And this stone is going to be a witness. This stone is going to be a testimony as to how God has helped us. And every time we see this stone, we will remember that God helped us. And this will encourage us to know that He will help us again." This was a time when God's people needed help. And their God came through and helped them. And Samuel said, "We don't want to forget that." There have been times in our lives, my life, your life, when God truly did help us. And you know what we need to do, folks? We need to get a rock as a witness. We need to raise our Ebenezer. We need to have a witness, a testimony that reminds us of His help. We are now, in just a few hours, away from the 363rd day of this year being history. In 2 days, we will turn the calendar and begin the year 2020. And as you look back over 2019, maybe it was an enjoyable year, maybe it was not an enjoyable year, but one thing you can take from the year 2019, you are where you are. We are where we are tonight because God has helped us. No man brought himself here. Nobody brought themselves here. The Lord has. Hitherto hath the Lord. Are you in church tonight? You're in church tonight. You know why you're here? Because God's helped you. Because God's helped you. You're in your marriage tonight? You want to know why? Because God's helped you. Your kids doing okay? You want to know why? Because God's helped you. You're doing good tonight, serving God. And you're seeing some fruit from your serving. You want to know why? Because God has helped you. Don't forget that. Hitherto hath the Lord helped us. Maybe we need to take a moment or two over the next few days and recall and remember how the Lord has helped us this year. Maybe we need to raise our Ebenezer. Maybe we need to raise up our rock of testimony. Maybe we need to gather a rock of witness and let God use it to remind us, hitherto by thy help I have come. Lord, it's not me. It's not anybody around. It's you. You have helped me. And I want to use the Psalms tonight to show you a few reasons why it's good for us to have a rock of witness, as a witness to God's help. I want you to turn to Psalm 121. Turn to Psalm 121. First of all, I want to show you that a rock of witness, an Ebenezer, is good to have because it reminds us from where our help comes. It reminds us from where our help comes. Psalm 121, I love this psalm. I repeat this psalm to myself, especially the first couple of verses. Over and over again, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. The psalmist said, my help comes from the Lord. He lifted up his eyes. He remembered where his help came from. And I was thinking this afternoon, I appreciate the help of a good wife. Fellas, if you have a good wife, the Bible says that's a good thing. I don't know where I'd be without my wife. I mean that. She's a blessing. Oh, my goodness, has she helped me. My, my, my. The greatest thing she's ever done for me is archive all my sermons. She did that. That's hours and hours of work on a computer. She archived all of them. Put it together by date, by reference, and by title. Three different spreadsheets. It's better than the six children that she gave me. It's the greatest thing ever. It's not as good as the grandchildren, but it's better than the six kids, I'll tell you that. Seriously, I don't know where I'd be without the help of a good wife. And every man that has a good wife sitting with you tonight, you can say amen to that. I don't know where I'd be without the help of loving children. My, my, did we have a wonderful time, five of the six kids and their spouses, home for 3 days. Four. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. And we had a blast. We had a wonderful time together. Wonderful time. I don't know where I'd be without the help of kind and caring friends. I'm thankful for my friends. I don't know where I'd be without the help of a loyal and faithful staff. And I appreciate these men who serve here with me at Faith Baptist Church. But friend, I want to tell you something. As I look back over 2019, there were a few times when I needed the help I needed was more than any one of those people could provide. And the help I needed came from Him. I'll lift up mine eyes into the hills. Amen. Good. Have you needed help like that in the past 363 days? I don't know, and I can't just bear it all because I don't think it's the right thing to do. But boy, I'm telling you, and I'm not asking for pity tonight. I'm just telling you, sometimes as a pastor, it gets heavy. It gets heavy. And as good as a wife as I've gotten, as loving as children as I have, and as good of friends and a wonderful staff, there's one place I have to look. I lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. When I need that kind of help, that's the only place it comes from. And when you need that kind of help, that's the only place it comes from. And there have probably been times this past year when you've needed that kind of help and you looked to God and God came to your help. What a great comfort to realize that if it's necessary, I have a God that can move heaven and earth to help me. The psalmist said, He lifted up His... I think about Paul sitting out here tonight with Bailey, and they've been in a tough situation for several months this year, just a tough situation at the church where they're serving. And Paul got thrust into things that he never planned on having to deal with. And how many phone conversations did we have, Paul? How many conversations? And I can only do so much. But if Paul could testify tonight, I know he would testify that God moved heaven and earth to help him as a young man deal with some situations that were way over his pay grade, way over his ability. That's the kind of help God provides. Our help comes from Him. The psalmist said He lifted up His eyes. And friends, so many times that is the last place we look for help. We look to ourselves. Oh, you talk about a futile thing. To look within. You know, are you familiar? I won't have you turn there for sake of time. But are you familiar with that passage in Romans chapter 7 where Paul talks about his struggle between the old nature and the new nature? 34 in 10 verses. He uses 34 Is it pronouns? He uses I, the person. He's talking about himself. He uses that 24 times. In 10 verses. He used the word me 6 times. He uses the word my 4 times. He's talking about this struggle between his old nature and his new nature. And he's looking within, and all he finds within is when he looks within, there's, and you know what he says at the very end of it, after mentioning himself 34 times. You know what his testimony is? Oh, wretched man that I am. And brother, if you look inside for help, that's what you're going to find. That's the Apostle Paul. Oh, wretched man that I am. And then he asks the question, who shall deliver me from this body of death? And then he answers his own question. I thank my God through Jesus Christ our Lord. I'm telling you, brother, Jesus is our help. We get in situations that are unique to us, that other folks can try to advise and try to counsel. You know, I slipped down to Milford on Friday night. Joyce and I did Friday afternoon to go to Tyler Musk's dad's visitation. I haven't said much publicly. I didn't want to embarrass him. But that was, some of you know, that was a very tough thing. His dad was murdered. His dad was murdered. And there wasn't real closeness there. His dad wasn't at the wedding. And Tyler's very quiet. You know that. Very, very quiet. And, you know, I just tried to console, I tried to comfort. But how can I talk about how to deal with having your father murdered? I've never... The only person I know in this church that can get close to that sitting right there. His mother was murdered. I don't think anybody, unless you had that happen in your family, and I don't know about it. How can I talk to Tyler? That's way over my pay grade. That's way over my ability. I can't deal with something like that. The only thing I can do to him is just say, man, turn to Christ. Look to God. And that's not bad advice, people. When you need help, God, the psalmist said, my help comes from Him. Amen. I'll lift up mine eyes. Now, we need to raise an Ebenezer. We need to have a rock of witness because it'll remind us from where our help comes. And let me tell you something, Mr. Big Shot. If you think you got this thing under control yourself, it doesn't take much for God to show you how little you are. Boy, we can be careful about being arrogant. It reminds us from where our help comes. Number two, our rock of witness, our Ebenezer, reminds us when our help comes. I love this text. Look at Psalm 46. Look at Psalm chapter 46. Our rock of witness reminds us when our help comes. In chapter 46, verse number 1, the psalmist here writes the very first verse of the chapter, Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. When our help comes, it comes very presently. Not just present, but very present. There are times when we need help and we need it now. And the truth of the matter is, I would imagine that people could testify tonight about being in a situation where you needed help and you got help. And then as you look back on the situation, you realize that the help had to be on the way before you even asked for it. God was already putting things in line, already setting things in motion to get us the help that we needed. When do you need help? Many times we need it now, immediately, not later, not next week, not next month. We need it now. And I want you to notice, this says nothing about helping us out of trouble. He says that God is a very present help in trouble. Do you realize, church, that God may not always get us out of trouble, but He will always help us in the trouble. In the trouble. In the trouble. You know, I was talking about trying to help somebody when it's over your pay grade. Did you ever offer to help somebody with a difficult project? And then when you got into it, you realized, oh my goodness, this is far beyond me, far above me. And then, you know, they get the project completed and they look at you and say, man, thanks for the help. And you say, I didn't do a whole lot. I kind of felt that way this past Monday. The 12 of us and two of the oldest grandkids, all the married kids that were there and their spouses and the two oldest grandsons and myself and Joyce, we went to this escape thing that Brother Bragg told me about up in Chicago. We did an escape room. It was a lot of fun. And I was in that room with Brother Allen and Pete, and Luke was in the other room, but I was there with Pete and Allen and Isaiah and Jason and the two boys, Max and Kyle. And I'm going to be honest with you. That's a lot of young brains. That's a lot of brain power. I didn't contribute a whole lot. I just didn't. They're looking for clues, and I'm looking clueless. That's me. I don't know what to do. I mean, it was a lot of fun, but I'd say it was a good thing I was in there with them. I'd have been locked in that room today. You'd have another preacher here. I didn't contribute a whole lot. We got out of that room with 2 minutes and 20 seconds left. There's a 20% success. I use the term we very generously. We got out of that room with 2 minutes and 20 seconds left. We only used two clues, and the guy said there's a 20% success rate coming out of this escape room. And man, they're all high-fiving. I'm right in the middle of all the high-fives. But, yeah, you say, I didn't contribute a whole lot, but I was there. I was there. I was there. Now listen, you know, man, thanks for the help. I didn't do anything. Yeah, but you were a help. You were here. And I want to tell you something, friend. God always contributes because God is always there. He is a very present help in trouble. Now you look back over 2019. You probably can look back at instances when you were in trouble. I don't mean in trouble with the law. I don't mean in trouble in some way caused by sin. I just mean you were in a difficult position. And you said, Lord, help me. And the Lord was there. He was there. It's a very present help in trouble. Why do we need to raise a rock? Why do we need to raise our Ebenezer? Why do we need a rock of witness? It reminds us where our help comes from. It reminds us when our help comes. Number three, it reminds us why we should be happy. Look at Psalms 146. Look at Psalms 146 and verse number 5. I love this verse. I love the teaching here. I love the teaching of this verse. Psalm 146 and verse number 5. They find it there, and here's what the psalmist wrote. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help. We have, now look, the Bible says we have the God of Jacob for our help, and we should be happy about that. We should be happy about that. So here's my question. Okay. Why? And I've alluded to this before in other messages. We should be happy because God said, we have the God of Jacob for our help. Now, why is that important? Why not the God of Abraham? Why not the God of Isaac? Why not the God of Joseph? Why not the God of Elijah? I will tell you why. Because everybody in this room is more like Jacob than we are Abraham. Everybody in this room is more like Jacob than we are like Elijah. Everybody in this room is more like Jacob than we are like David. Oh, yes. We're like Jacob. So what was Jacob? A deceiver? A trickster? A supplanter who battled with being spiritual until he wrestled with the angel and he had to confess to the angel, what's your name? My name is Jacob. I'm far more like Jacob than I am like Abraham. And so are you. And guess what? Aren't you glad that you don't have to be like Abraham to get his help? Aren't you glad that God is a God to help? The help that we get is from the God of Jacob. God was patient with Jacob. God helped Jacob in spite of some glaring problems in his life. You got any problems in your life? I'm talking about your spirituality. I got some. None of your business, but I got some. And so do you. But God was patient with Jacob. And God took care of Jacob. And God helped Jacob in spite of those glaring problems. And we have that same God to help us. That same God to help us. That's why we should be happy. I don't have to be like Abraham. I'm not saying settle for not being spiritual. I'm just saying, hey, let's face the facts. Let's face it. We're far more like Jacob than any of the patriarchs. But the God of Jacob is our help. I was thinking this afternoon, looking over this message. Remember, we were straightening up the kitchen. We're taking down the Christmas. I helped my wife take down the Christmas decorations on, was it Friday, I think, afternoon. Remember that big old rock? We have a rock in the bucket in the kitchen. It's a rock that I picked up from the Navajo Nation out in Utah, out in Arizona when I was there preaching for Brother Haynes a couple of Augusts ago. I got something exciting to tell you about that next week. And they took me out to that place where all that petrified wood, if you ever want to go somewhere where the flood is, the effects and the results of the flood are visible, it's right there. All that petrified wood. It's not a rock, it's wood. But it's as hard as a rock. It's petrified. The amount of people were out there picking it up. They take it to craft shows and sell it. And I picked up a few pieces and I got a great big rock. Great big piece. And I remember I said to you, where does this go? And you said, stick it in the bucket. So you got a little bucket for a decoration. So I put it in that bucket. I was thinking this afternoon, I'm going to get that rock out of that bucket when I get home. I'm going to put that thing up right there on top of that cupboard in the kitchen. That's going to be my rock of witness. That's going to be my Ebenezer. I'm going to remember this message and this passage. You say, that's a silly thing to do. All right. If you don't need that, fine. I need that. I need a rock of witness. Sitting on the shelf in my kitchen, in my house, where I can put my eyes on it. And every time I do, I am reminded, hey, old boy. Hey, old boy. Hitherto hath the Lord helped me. I've only come this far by His help. I've only come this far because of His help. Maybe you ought to go home and get you a rock of witness. Maybe it don't have to be a big one, just a small one. said it somewhere. You know, those people out in those places, they use rocks to build altars to pray to their ancestors. You see them all on the sides of the roads. I remember the first time I saw it. I forget where I was, who I was with. I think I was up in Canada. I said, what are all those, what are these little stacks of rocks? They're altars. Altars that those people who worship their ancestors build and pray to their ancestors. Well, if they can do that, a child of God can put a rock somewhere and let it be an Ebenezer. Here I raise mine Ebenezer because it reminds me, hither by thy help I've come. You still with your spouse tonight? Because of his help. Still in church? It's because of his help. Still believe the old book? It's because of his help. Because of his help. We ain't nothing. We'd be nowhere apart from his help. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I thank you for your great help as I look back over 2019. We come to the end of this year. I just want to praise your name tonight. Really, if I did what I wanted, my soul felt like doing right now, I'd holler out, bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless the Lord. I thank you for your help tonight. Lord, I still have a Bible in my hand, and I'm still in church. And I'm not perfect, but I'm on the right road. That's only because you've helped me. So, Lord, I raise my Ebenezer. Hither by thy help I've come. May I never forget that. And help us, Lord, to raise a rock of witness. Maybe we don't. Maybe not everybody needs to put a physical rock someplace in their house and let it be a reminder. But, Lord, it probably wouldn't be a bad thing for a lot of us to do. And let that rock remind us, hither by thy help I've come. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Has God helped you? Maybe you want to take a minute or two and thank him for it tonight. Be mindful of his blessings and rejoice in his help. Be reminded that were it not for his help, you wouldn't be where you are. If you're not saved, come and let God be the biggest help that he could ever be to you by saving your soul. Let's stand together, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Our invitation begins tonight.
Softly and tenderly, Jesus,
hither by thy help I've come.
Calling for you and for me. The portals, he's waiting and watching.
Yes, he is.
Watching for you and for me. Come home, come home. Ye who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling, O sinner, come home. Why should we tarry when Jesus is calling?
Teenager, are you in good shape with your parents tonight? If you are, it's only because he's helped you. He's helped you.
Why should we linger?
Some of you are driving those long, long miles with work. My goodness, over the road. Miles and miles and miles. You went all year without any kind of accident. The Lord helped you. Oh, he's helped us. My. Has he helped us? Raise a rock of witness. Raise a rock of witness in your life, in your home. Make sure you remember where your help comes from and when it comes. It comes in trouble. And why we should be happy? Because the God of Jacob is our help.
Oh, for the wonderful love he has promised for you and for me. Though we have sinned, he has mercy and pardon for you and for me. Come home,
amen.
Ye who are weary,
Thank you. Be seated, please, if you would. Ushers, if you want to come tonight, and we'll take this offering for Isaiah and Cherith. I'm going to go back, and we're having a baptism here tonight. And let's pray. And then if you want to give by way of check, you make it out to the church, and they'll get every dime of that. Father in heaven, thank you for being our help. And Lord, none of us made it this far without you. No way. No way in the world. So help us to be mindful of that. As old Samuel did so many years ago, raise that rock of witness. Help us to make sure that we have a rock of witness in our life that reminds us of your help. And I pray that you'll help this couple as they get started here in just a week or so, Lord, starting back up on the road, deputation, give them safety. Help them to find favor with churches, pastors, people. Lord, most of all, favor with, and grace with you. And be their help, and we'll thank you for it in Christ's name. Amen.